There is the gut emotional reaction to it. And with that reaction, we don't even want to listen to what goes before that verse and after that verse. However, as mentioned several times during this past month or so, when we come to the scriptures, we must remember not to allow our culture to determine how to interpret the passage. Very often we hear these words, yeah, this is what the scripture says, but in our society, da 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 da. This is not the right way to look at the scripture. Instead, we are to look at the context to determine the original intent of the author and what the first audience really heard. In the book of Ephesians, one main focal point is about our reconciliation with God and with one another. In order to live out this reconciliation, one is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the biblical context, to be filled with the Spirit means to have one's life under the Spirit's control. This control by the Holy Spirit is to be manifested in our worship, in submitting to one another, and in husband and wife relationship. It is also to be manifested in parent and children relationships, employer and employee relationships. Last Sunday, we studied the Christian husband's role and responsibilities in a marriage. The husband's relationship with his wife is to be understood in the context of the relationship between Christ and the church. The husband is to be the head or to be the leader in a marriage, in the family. Just as Christ loved the church and died for her, the Christian husband is to love his wife sacrificially or self-givingly. Just as Christ loved the church and helped her to be radiant and glorious, the Christian husband is to help his wife to radiate the beauty of Christ that's within her. And with this in mind, we want to explore the duties of a Christian wife in a marriage. Again, this is to be seen in the context of the relationship between Christ and the church. First, let's take a look at submission and oneness in marriage. Submission means putting oneself under the authority or the influence of another person. We submit to our government. We submit to church leaders. We submit to our supervisors at work. We put ourselves under that umbrella of authority. To submit to her husband, the wife willingly places herself under the authority and the influence of her husband. And this is oneness. But there is more. After God created Adam, and then he saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. So Adam was not complete by himself. So Eve was created. In order to complete Adam, when husbands love their wives and the wives submit to their husbands, it brings about completion in each other's life. We often hear the newlyweds say, "Now I feel complete." Or looking at another individual, sometimes even looking at our own selves, after a few years of marriage, we say, "Oh, that person has so matured, so leveled out, or become so less self-absorbed since marrying so-and-so." Or if the marriage is not functioning well, we may see the person's self-absorption, immaturity, or character flaws are even more prominently shown than before. In a functioning marriage, both husband and wife, they complete each other. Submission also brings about glorifying each other. The Christian husband uses his gifts to help his wife to grow and to be mature. He encourages his wife to radiate the beauty of Christ that's in her. In short, he uses his gift to further God's glory in his wife's life. When a husband loves his wife, it also means that he's not to abuse this authority and leadership by stifling his wife from exhibiting God's glory in her. When a wife submits to her husband, she also submits her gifts to be used to bring out the beauty and the glory of God in her husband's life. And then when the husband leads and the wife submits, it brings out the best of both. Since this is so important and is so precious, Paul in verses 31 quoted Genesis 2:24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You see, because this is so important, that there's that oneness, the unity between husband and wife. So Paul said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The wife's submission. Now let's take a closer look at this word, sometimes troubling word, submission. Let's look at what it is. The wife's submission is to put herself under the husband's authority or his influence. But we have to ask, what kind of influence? This morning I'll try to go beyond some of the most simplistic suggestions or applications. I'm sure that you have heard this before, such as, who is to decide when to buy a new car? Who decides what kind of house to live in? Or the color of the curtain? Or you have to listen to me about what you eat, what movie to see, and how to raise our kids. If I say everyone in this household should get up at 6 a.m. every morning, then everyone should. These may be important issues. Issues that may cause a lot of arguments in a marriage. But I don't think Paul had this in mind when he wrote these words. So what does it mean for the church to submit to Christ's influence? You see, Christ wants to help his people to know and to love God with their whole person. He wants his people to be mature and be like him. So when we submit ourselves to his influence, his authority means that we'll listen and we'll follow his guidance in learning how to love him, how to love God, and how to love men. And so likewise, the husband's influence is to help and encourage his wife to grow spiritually, to know and to love God. This can be done through by praying for her, reading of the word, to encourage her to go to Sunday school or go to Bible study groups. Encourage her to use her spiritual gift to serve others. The husband can help by being an example to the entire family. I feel that we as husbands are to ask ourselves, as we look at our role in the family, especially in the context of our wife's submission to us, these questions are, am I leading my family to have a better knowledge of God? Am I leading my family to become more Christ-like as the years go by? Am I instilling in my family that true success is not all A's or material prosperity, but one that focuses on knowing and loving God in all areas of life? Is my leadership self-serving or self-giving? These are the hard questions that we are to ask. Rather than expecting our wives to listen to every word we utter, it's like a dictator. No, we have to ask, am I leading by helping my family to know God more and to love Him? This is the kind of leadership and influence that husbands are to exert on their wives. In response, the wives also need to ask, do my actions, my words, and my attitude enable my husband to lead my family to a better knowledge of God? Or whenever he suggests something, That we as a family can be drawn closer to God. I always have that rebellious attitude. No, not again. Also, have I truly in everything submitted my life to this highest priority in life? To know and to love God. If I'm not convinced that my highest priority in life is to love, to know, and to love God, no matter how much my husband tried to influence me in this area, I would not respond, right? On the one hand, the husband will be using his gift to help his wife to grow and mature. On the other hand, the wife in submission also use his gifts to bring out the beauty and glory in her husband. She is to encourage him to grow and to lead, helping him to understand that her priority in life is really to know and to love God. There are times challenges are needed to bring about completion and glory in another person's life. When the wife sees how the husband abuses the children verbally, such as attending a ceremony where you will receive the second prize, is not acceptable in this family. Can you imagine Father saying that? If you have been reading excerpts of books on the tiger mom, tiger mother, you will hear, you will see, read that. That's some kind of abuse, isn't it? In Acts, when sees the husband abuses the children, either verbally or in attitude or even physically, and in the name of submission suppresses all comments and actions, this is not biblical submission. In those situations, she needs to stand up and to confront him. Now let's take a look at submission and one's dignity or one's value. Whenever we bring up the term submission in marriage, all kinds of images will come up. Very often, we see the wife as a yes, yes person. I think of the wife who dares not make a move or say the word before her husband. When the husband says, come, she comes, the dish is too cold, go warm it, she goes and do it right away. I still vividly remember about 45 years ago, I was a college student in Japan. During dinner in a weekend ski trip, my Japanese male friends would say, rice. You know, they would clap their hand, rice. So to that, the girls would get up immediately and bring them another bowl of rice. Few of us students from Hong Kong would say, don't you have legs? Why can't you get it yourself? I still remember one time, some of us, male students from Hong Kong, we would get up and give them another bowl of rice. When we think about submission, we think in terms of yes, yes person. This person is really second-class citizens, not as valuable as the man. Such association is wrong. When we submit to one another in this church, it certainly does not imply that we have lost our identity or even our value. When I submit to you or you submit to me, does not mean that by submission you are less of a person. No, nothing like that. When we and the church submit to Christ, it does not mean that we are less human. On the contrary, having come to know Christ, we learn that we are deeply loved and accepted by Christ unconditionally. We belong to Him, and His eyes of providence are upon us. In His sight, we are very precious. We have a secure and dignified identity. And in response to this love, and out of our security, we want to submit to Him, putting ourselves under His authority and His influence. When our husbands love us in a self-giving manner, it makes us feel secured. It makes us feel we are valued. We are very precious. And out of the security in one's identity, we want to submit to His leadership, His influence in helping us to become mature. You remember the Proverbs woman, Proverbs 31 woman? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. To be honored and to be praised by one's spouse is an honor, is to have one's value affirmed. So by submitting to our husband does not mean that we are second-class citizens. No. It will further affirm who we are. Then we'll take a look at submission, love, and now respect. This passage ends with, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The husband is to love his wife, that we have seen repeatedly this past 2 weeks. And the wife is to respect her husband. Brian Chappell in his book pointed out that Paul brings out the weak points of both genders in this one, in this simple verse. Man's temptation is use the power of his position or his physical strength to control, to rule, isn't it? I am the man of the house. That's my position. Therefore, you are to listen to me. I am the father. Therefore, you do what I say. Period. No discussion. Does that sound familiar? Because I'm in this position, therefore you listen. And then when this does not work, men get frustrated. And with some men, including Christians, will resort to physical violence. How about the women? Very often, a look, a cutting remark, an accusation, or some embarrassing remark may diminish the husband so that he becomes less sure of himself and thus more easily controlled. I have been in situations with both the couple. When I ask the question, the wife will always be the one to answer. I still remember one story, I might have shared this with you a long time ago, when I was at talking to them, kind of in a very casual way, talk to the husband. I said, oh, do you eat spicy food? And then the wife answered, no, he can't. I was talking to the man, right? And then the wife would do that. So he never really have a chance to give me the answer. Then there are times I would have to intervene and I would say to the wife, now it's your husband's turn to talk. You have already talked. Now let him talk. And then you listen. He said, women are generally good with words. And every time when you see someone start to argue and then when the woman start to talk, I always, even in the movies, I would say, no, this guy is dead. There's no way he can win her over with words, isn't it? Women are good with words. And often they use words to intimidate men. And then men would exert control through our position and strength, whereas women exert control over her body language. Sometimes, you know, that's that. Moving away, the little shift in her body position can really scare the man, isn't it? Love does not allow such control over each other. To respect your husband means you do not belittle him with words. Words such as, what does he know? Don't listen to him. These are cruel and cutting words. It will only solicit his revenge. He may not revenge right away, but he will remember it. And then when there's the opportunity, it will come out at some other places. Very often, the other place would include making fun of you in front of others. And you have no clue why would he bring out that joke. But actually, it was something that's already started days or months or weeks ago when you make that cutting remark. To respect means saying words of encouragement and affirmation to him when he failed. Do not make fun of his career and his salary. About 20 years ago, I was talking to a young couple. They were planning to get married, so I asked what their profession, what is the young man's profession. So he starts saying that I work in an insurance company. I'm a salesperson. In those days, we used those terms. I'm a salesperson. And then right away, the wife, at that time, the girlfriend or the fiancé would come in and say, no, he's not a salesperson. He's a financial consultant. And then I was wondering, what's going on? You know, the guy acknowledged that's his position. He's a salesperson. But the wife would, the girl would say, no, he's a consultant. Consultant, of course, sounds much better. All right, it's a little, quote-unquote, so-called higher than a salesperson in the oriental thinking. This is not healthy, isn't it? Don't belittle his family. Your whole family is like this. You're just like one of them. And you know for sure that when you make that statement, that's really the start of World War III. Do not compare him with John, who has a better job or makes more money. You know, as I look back in my own life, when I don't do well, or when others can't understand what I'm trying to get across in a sermon, that happens all the time. this sermon today, the topic is supposed to be a very familiar topic to me. But in the last 3 days, I have gone through 3 major revisions. Even this morning, I'm still thinking, oh, I don't like it, I need to change. And then I look at the clock, it's really too late, it's 9:30 already, I can't make any change. I'll just go with what I have. You know, when I sense that others don't understand what I'm trying to get in a sermon, or when others don't seem to understand why I am doing certain things, sometimes a word from Cynthia such as, it's okay, I still love you, it's all I need to hear. To many of us, submitting to their husband means if he wants to see a movie, okay, go with him. If he wants to eat there, I'll just follow, I'll listen, and I'll be submissive. If he insists on buying a new car this year, okay, let him make that decision. I'll just submit to him. Now, this is something that I've been thinking for quite a while. And of course, nowadays I would say no man is secure enough to say this is the right time to do this, to do that. You will always consult with your wife first, right? But the more I think about it, the more I start to wonder, especially lately. All these things, it's nothing to do with Christians, isn't it? Because non-Christian wives in certain cultures and in certain religions, they do this all the time. So what is it that separates us from them? If I would continue to add on to this list, to submit your husband means you to do this, to do that, then this would be a message that everyone would welcome. I can talk in a Chinese community center. I can go to a Jewish synagogue and talk. I can go to a Muslim mosque and thought they were all like it. Yeah, they said, this is right, this is right. But what is so unique about the Christian marriage, about wives' submission to the husband? I feel what separates us from the rest of the world is the conviction that our ultimate purpose in life is to know and to love God. That's what our purpose is, to know and to love Him. If I am single, I can always draw on God's grace and His power to help me to grow spiritually, to help me to become mature, to help me to radiate the beauty, the glory that He has endowed within me. If my husband is a believer and a growing Christian, constantly helping me to grow spiritually, I'm to thank God. While I also ask God to keep me humble and submit myself to my husband's influence. If my husband is not a Christian, or he is an immature believer, or he is a passive leader at home, this will make submission to him in other areas of life difficult. But this will not stop me from knowing and to love God. Having said this, it is also important for us to know that our submission must not contradict God's word. Submission that will lead to sin and danger to our lives and others' lives is not biblical submission. Again, a few words to the sisters among us, the young women especially waiting to be married. As you look at your boyfriend or your fiancé, this is the question you need to ask. Am I willing to ask and also to answer? Am I willing to submit, to put myself under his influence of helping me to become mature, to know and to love God more? Rather than saying, oh, he loves me. Every year when I have a birthday, he will send me the number of flowers that's equivalent to my age. Is that caring or that love enough for you to marry this person? There is something very basic you have to ask. Am I willing to submit myself to his leadership in helping me to grow and to be mature? Also, a few words to the husbands among us, including myself. Very often, we are self-absorbed, wanting our wives to serve and cater to us. I feel many of us, especially from the Asian culture, are prone to this. Because part of this, having our wife to cater to us, to serve us, is a deep-rooted issue in the Asian culture. We want them to listen and obey us in matters really that are secondary. But totally ignore what is most important in life, to know and to love God. And when we fail to do this, when we focus on the secondary, this will make submission very difficult. Whether or not we like it, by position we are the leaders. We are leaders in our family. But what kind of leaders are we? Are we the passive, self-serving leaders? Or the loving and self-giving leaders? In different churches, including this one, whenever I ask the wives if their husband loves them in a self-giving way, if their husband loved them the way that Christ loved the church, will they have problems submitting to him? Without a blink of an eye, they will all shake their heads almost at the same time. No, this is not going to be a problem. If he will love me like Christ loved me. And for that reason, I feel husbands among us, including myself, we really need to go back to the scripture, go back to God, ask the Holy Spirit to take control of us, to help us. Really, one again and again experience how Christ has loved us and died for us. How Christ helped us to become holy in the sanctification process. Even as we experience that, not just mental knowledge, but experience it, then we are able to turn around and love our wife in a self-giving way. You know, submission is never easy. Because of our human nature of pride and arrogance, we don't even like to obey God, not to mention obeying each other or submitting to one another. And for this reason, the scripture repeatedly tells us, once you come to know Christ, the most fundamental change that you're going to have in your life, in your value system, is to submit to God. If I cannot submit to God, there's no way I can submit to anyone. So we ask the Spirit to help us to break that deep-rooted culture, that value, that I'm the center of the world. No, you are not. God is. And now having married, now your spouse is the other little center. that you are to cater to. And then finally, I think you probably know yourself better than anyone here. Especially the wives among us, if you feel that your husband is not providing the leadership as he should. Yeah, you want to submit to him, but yet you don't really know what to submit. Maybe you find a time, just the two of you have a heart-to-heart talk. Just share with him how you feel. Gently show him. Or let him know how he can lead and help you to grow in your knowledge of God and knowing God. Even if he's not a Christian, there are times you can still talk about this, right? I know you are not a believer, but yet I have become a Christian now. And my priority in life is to love and to know God. Maybe this is how you can help me. Think about this. Shall we pray? I think we all know that we husbands are to love our wives like Christ does, love the church. And wives know that we are to submit to our husband like the church submits to God, to Christ. And yet, because of sinful nature, it's so hard to do this. Maybe this is a time for us just to spend some moments in silent reflection. If I'm to love my wife the way that Christ loved the church, what are some changes I need to do? And if I'm to submit myself to my husband's authority and influence in helping me to grow and be mature, what are some changes I need to make? Are my words, my actions, my attitudes conducive to his leadership? What is it that I need to change? Tell this to God. And remember, he listens. And he will also give you the strength to make the change. If not, then he is a very cruel God.
Song of response today will be the same song as we sang last week, Be Thou My Vision, the version that was sung at a marriage conference some years ago. And I'd like if we could ask the PowerPoint to flash the second verse on the screen for us. And Fred, can you come in and just lead? I'd like the men to read this together first.
Okay, men. Read it with conviction, as you mean it. Ready? Be thou my vision of self-sacrifice, loving as Jesus who gave of his life, forsaking all others and clinging to you. With God as my witness, I pledge I still do.
And the women, please read with me the next verse. Be thou my vision of honoring love, serving with gladness as unto the Lord, giving myself completely to you. With God as my witness, I pledge I still do. And so let's stand and sing this song together from first verse to the end. And if you're standing by your spouse, I encourage you just take their hand or tuck your hand in their elbow. Come on, my husband. Be thou my vision, and may we really commit to the Lord. Can we sing, please?
Be thou my vision.
for the ladies.
On the first Sunday of each month, we gather together to remember what Christ has done on the cross through communion. I'd like to invite all baptized believers to join us as we take the elements this morning. As Christ was in the upper room, as he was just about to be betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." He knows that he's going to go to the cross shortly and will have to suffer. And as we take the bread, we remember the suffering that he has partaken on our behalf.
Thank you.
Shall we stand, please? I'd like to ask Karen if you could give thanks for the bread.
Let's pray. Father, you give us positions and roles and tasks and responsibilities in this life. And sometimes they are not, in our eyes, easy. But in your world, Father, they are so possible. And we ask that the roles that you give to us as men and women, as husbands and wives, that we would do it with great courtesy and love and honor to the other person. And as we do this, Father, that we would not seek our own will in our own way, Father, but we would seek the best in the other person, and that we would seek always to honor and to love you at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's peel off the first layer and partake the bread in remembrance of our Lord. In the same evening, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," again signifying that he will suffer for us, and that through his shed blood that we can have newness of life. I'd like to ask Paul if he can give thanks for the cup.
Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, just such a great, wonderful God, Lord, that when you stand in awe that the Creator of all things will loves us so much that he gives his only begotten Son to die for his creation, Father. Just thank you for that wonderful gift. Lord, just please help us to take this with a humble heart, reverent spirit, as we do this in remembrance of your wonderful sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's peel off the second layer and we'll take the cup in remembrance of him. Please be seated. I'd like to wish you all a happy Chinese New Year. How many of you are the year of the rabbit? Rabbits here, a number of you. Yes. Well, I want to welcome all of you here, particularly those that are here for the very first time. For our church is committed to making God-loving and compassionate disciples of Christ among all nations. At this time, we'd like to acknowledge anyone that's new. If you have brought a friend or a family members, if you could introduce them to us, we'd love to acknowledge them. Anyone over here on our left-hand side that's here for the first time, we'd love to acknowledge you. All right, how about over here on the right-hand side? Anybody here for the first time? Well, great. Well, welcome. Well, anybody else over here on the right-hand side? Well, great. Well, we have Sunday school that follows worship service, and after that, we do have lunch. And we ask that you stay behind for a company lunch on our behalf. If you have your bulletins, I'd like to highlight a few things. Turn to page 3. As we have mentioned in our mission statement, we want to make God-loving and compassionate disciples of Christ among all nations. And one of the things that we'd like to emphasize this year is to teach our people to be more compassionate, particularly toward the poor. As you take a note on number 2, our church leaders, pastors, elders, and leaders have taken an initiative during the past 2 weekends to go to a homeless day center to serve the homeless. And we are going to be encouraging our congregation to reach out and serve the homeless this year as well. And we just want to thank the leaders who stepped out as taking a leadership and set an example for us. You're going to be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. And number three, we do have a need for some greeters, and if you have some desire to serve in that capacity, please contact Janet Fang. Then number five, annually, this is one of our highlights. We have our English retreat, which will take place on April 1st to 3rd. We do have a flyer that tells us a little bit more about that. Our theme this year is Relentless Pursuit. I really like that. Relentless Pursuit. You could sign up out in the lobby to get more information concerning about the English retreat. All right. And one other thing, if you would turn over to page 6, under Family Matters, we are having a number of our classrooms that are being repainted during this past week and also the coming weeks. And we just want to remind you that this is God's house. And as we beautify it, we want to respect our house, God's house, and honor Him. So may we notice that as well as teach our children to honor God's house. Okay, at this time, I'd like to, if we could stand and we will have our benediction. Father God, we thank you for the great sacrifice that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. And may we learn from your example to love others as you loved us. And Father, may we be a living testimony for you wherever we go. And I ask that you will provide a special blessing upon each family that's represented here, Lord. And may your name be honored wherever we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed after a moment of silent prayer. I'm going to be up here. If you have any specific needs you would like me to pray for you, I'd love to pray for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. Is the Chinese operator here yet, Dean? Wang Youcheng, is he here? Okay. Okay. Julia, 我们现在可以来试试看那个, why don't we go ahead and do the second set of song, Jesus Love Me? Measure 25 coming up.
Can you do the rest up the rest?